Good evening and welcome to the Cycles of Change radio program. I'm your host, live this February 14th, 2013, Valentine's Day, coming to you live as we do every Thursday night at 8 p.m. New York time, 5 p.m. Pacific. Tonight, we're going to be talking about consciousness, spirituality, and healing with a very special guest, Peter Roth. Peter is an acclaimed intuitive counselor and healer who has been featured in many magazines and books. He is the founder and the director of the Heart River Center for Intuitive Healing in New York. It provides an intimate environment for students to explore and raise spiritual consciousness and develop their intuitive gifts. You can find out about the Heart River Center for Intuitive Healing at heartriver.org. There they have intuitive programs, they have medical intuition classes, they have seminars, Heart River news, classes. You can learn about the human design system that I have seen in action and energy patterns, feng shui, and so much more that they have there at heartriver.org. Peter also has his own radio show, the Energy Stew radio program on the Progressive Radio Network. You can find out about that by going to progressiveradionetwork.com, looking for Energy Stew. His program comes on Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, 12 noon New York time, and 9 a.m. Pacific. So what we're going to look at tonight is how consciousness and spirituality has changed in recent decades. This is becoming much more of an important thing to us all as we're moving out of the rat race, the machine age, the mechanized society where success was measured by affluence and materialism. But now we're finding that our values are becoming a bit more inward. Our energies are focused more inward. We're becoming more internet-based, less materialistic. We're becoming a little bit more romantic-based and a little bit less self-serving. So I believe in the world cycles of change. A person who's on the front line about this is Peter Roth at the Heart River School for Intuitive Healing. So I would like to introduce you all to tonight's special guest, Peter Roth. Peter, are you there?
Yes, David, thanks. Thanks for introducing me and having me as a guest on the show. I'm delighted to be here and talk with your audience.
Well, I know a lot of people in New York are looking forward to tonight's program where you are well known. Peter, can you tell us a little bit about the Heart River Center for Intuitive Healing?
Well, we've been around since 1997, and literally thousands of students have gone through the school over that period of time to learn about intuition and to become intuitives themselves and healers themselves. We are very information-based. So we believe that we can help people a lot by giving them special information, healing information about their lives and their patterns that interfere with their progress in life.
And not only are you dealing with people who come to the school to learn how to develop these innate gifts that have been lying dormant in these last generations to some degree or another, but you also, on your radio program, interview people from all walks of life on your Energy Stew program that comes on weekly, do you not?
Yes, I have a very diverse group of authors and guests that represent a lot of different, very skillful techniques, skillful understandings, people who are leaders in their field. And it's exciting to have them on and learn more about evolution, consciousness, and even healing in many, many diverse ways. Actually, this coming Saturday, I'll have a guest on who is someone who is a contactee and has had a lifetime of working with extraterrestrials.
Well, that's pretty remarkable, and you have a diverse set of classes, seminars, and everything else that's going on. Peter, in this more than a decade and a half that you've been working with the school that you founded and the years that you've been on radio, how do you see a shift in people over the last decade and a half in terms of putting value on the things within rather than the things without?
It's immense. When I first started teaching in 1997, there were very few people around who were teaching this kind of information. And I was very unique in those days. And then over the years, the schools blossomed all over the place with all kinds of different techniques and information and empowerments. And some of the more successful people in the field were people who could push your buttons, for your survival buttons, people who were coming in to market themselves in ways that would say, if you don't study what I'm teaching, you're not going to know anything.
Indeed. And, you know, it's been an interesting transition over these past couple of decades, say more or more. In the 1990s, we were hearing a lot about the New Age movement. And that's where people were reaching for things, hopefully seeking spirituality and so forth. But it wasn't always necessarily based in substance. And then the decade following to the year 2000, we found that it was the new reality. We had reality genre this. We had the new film noir series going on, basically, in cinema, television, reality program became the thing. So it's very interesting, as you see these two decades emerge in the 1990s and after 2000, where we go from the new age to the new reality, what I found is it produced a new spirituality. What happened, it seems that as we were reaching things, hopefully, that it went through the sieve of time, and only those things with substance survived. Your Heart River Center for Intuitive Healing actually grew during this time and became quite popular and stood as a leader when the demand increased, when we moved into the new reality. It's based on substance. I've seen your human design system actually applied to somebody while I was actually there, and you were applying it, our friend Mitchell Rabin of A Better World TV. So what are people really looking for, Peter, when they come to the Intuitive River Center, the Heart River Center, and they want to learn more about what our abilities are, they want to find it inside of themselves? Why is this important to people now?
Because we know there is an inside.
That's an improvement. That's a far cry from living the lives of quiet desperation while we have perfectly mowed lawns and help keep the machine going and the trains running all on time while we're losing ourselves in the process. And thank goodness we can wash it away with alcohol and drugs and any other kind of distraction. But that doesn't work for people now who are looking for something a little deeper and a little bit more real. So thank goodness for schools like what you have. And what are some of the more popular subjects that people seek to go into when they come to your center?
Well, it's also spiritually oriented, because when we are working with intuition, we're working with knowledge that's held in, let's call it the quantum field. It's held in another dimensional reality that we all exist in. We just didn't know it until quantum physics was created. And once we found out about it, well, then it opens the door more for opportunities that we never thought were possible in terms of what we know. Everybody is functioning within this field of multidimensionality, because actually that's where our memories are held. You know, we've been misled as to how life works, as if the brain is the chief and we need to rely on a brain. The brain actually is very important, because it's the processor. It's like the antenna that allows our brain, allows our mind to know itself, but it has to come from somewhere. And we were never told where it comes from, other than it must be in the brain somewhere. And yet science has never found where thinking comes from. They only know how thinking is processed in the brain. They don't know actually where our consciousness, where our awareness lies.
You know, it's a wonderful irony that the smartest people I know tell me we should use our brains less.
Right. And I do that a lot, because I know that I don't know as much as the multidimensional field knows, the quantum field. I don't know the information that exists in the all-knowingness. Because everything that has existed is recorded in the universe, and it is accessible. And so that's why intuition, that's why I can sit with people who I don't know and very shortly know a lot about them without them having to say anything. Because I'm just drawing down this larger information field about them and then can hear it. I'm mostly good at hearing, although there's some things I can see. And then I start telling people what I hear, and they say, how do you know that? How can you know that? No, I thought nobody knew that but me.
Well, there's a law of physics that says you can't destroy anything. You can only change its form. And once you learn how to translate the form, then you can tap into all things that were, are, and will be. Does this relate to what's known as the Akashic Record?
Yeah, that's a mysterious word, the Akashic Records. A lot of people have heard of the Akashic Records. And Edgar Cayce, who was a mystic of early the last century, he said that it was this great book in the sky that some people have access to. And when they do have access to it, then they can know things, the records of our lives that are held in this book in the sky.
Okay.
So that's the foundation of understanding what these Akashic records must be, according to Edgar Cayce anyway. Well, the reason he called it a book, that you actually can fly out into other dimensions, fly out there and get to this book, and then you can open the pages of it. The only reason he was able to interpret it that way was that it was the age before computers.
Mm.
So he didn't know how to relate to information from the quantum field other than it being available in a book form.
Well, it creates a common frame of reference with imagery, so that puts it in terms with which we can identify. But our ability to understand things is moving out beyond very physically based limitations of concepts as we move away from Newtonian, Cartesian thought into quantum fields. We used to think of the entire universe and the cosmos as moving in mechanical form, but when we started to look at subatomic matter, we found that the laws of physics that we see on the large things around us just fall apart when you get down to the quantum level, because there you have things that have a tendency to exist at certain places in certain times, at certain ways, until you look at them well.
Right. And that's how the quantum field works, and that's actually how intuition works. It is out there, and it's sitting out there, and you only have access to it when you put your consciousness into it.
So we influence the results merely by observing them. So we're not objective observers. We're participatory in everything.
We have to summon it. You know,
indeed.
And I guess some people have intuitive hits that they can't control. And sometimes I am spoken to and guided by voices that I'm not controlling or even asking for, but somehow there are beings, I guess, out there that need to guide me, and then all of a sudden they show up and they say, turn left, then turn right, and then turn left again, and all of a sudden I'm at a place where I needed to be that I didn't realize how easy it was to get there, you know, that kind of thing. And it's almost like having a GPS at times, and other times there are warnings, and you know, And I think that one of the reasons that it's so clear to me about this is that, because I believe we all have a lot of these fail-safe mechanisms going on, and we call it our intuition, our instinct, our, you know, kind of a spontaneous self. And really, there's guidance from beyond. I think most artists have guidance. I think engineers, scientists have guidance. People who are creators in life are guided, and many have admitted to it. And I remember speaking to a very famous musician who said, oh, it's not me who's creating all of this award-winning music, I'm only receiving it.
Indeed. They become vessels, do they not, Peter?
Right, right. It's fabulous. And the more that we give ourselves to this higher consciousness and say, you know, I'm here and I'm listening, the more we're given.
Is this something that anyone can do? Do we all have this ability? Can we awaken this within ourselves?
Well, we are all using it all the time anyway. We just don't know it. And the fact that we don't know it, we don't take good enough advantage of it. So the idea is to learn techniques on how to tap into this in ways that it makes it more accessible. And so I teach that, and that's really how I teach and why I teach intuition is to give people access to what they already have.
Are men able to learn this as easily as women? Because I've long had the bias that women are more intuitive in general than men. Well, how about that, Peter?
Women are better listeners. That's archetypal. We really come from a background, and this is true actually for most of the animal kingdom, where women, the females in any tribe or family, are the more sensitive, more aware of danger, of anything out of place. They're, for instance, that's why women are better at parenting, because they have an extra sense about their children and where their children are at in every moment, you know, and intuitively. And yet fathers, males, are much more the provider and, you know, the power of providing, of protecting, also a lot of protection. And this is archetypal. Now, granted, women have developed more male strengths and men have developed more female strengths, so we know that it's blending more. But archetypally, the roles of males was to provide and protect, and the roles of females were to socialize, sensitize, be aware of the environment, and be able to warn the males when their services were needed. So if there was danger, it was the females who would panic first. And then the males would go, oh, my gosh, I have to go to war now, you know, or I have to kill the enemy. And that's how it would work. And so that's why women are more, they're better listeners, they have larger antennas. And yet, as I said, men are developing more female strengths. My wife says, you know, she's very happy that I have a lot of yin, you know, kind of female type strengths, which have to do with my intuition and my sensitivity and my antennas. And she's very proud of me for that. And I still think of myself as the provider and protector.
Yeah, because there's yin and yang in the universe. There really is balance. But just as there is a little bit of yin and yang, there's a little bit of yang and yin. There are times when women will become very aggressive, when situations that has forced war in communities has proven that. And there are times when men can be very sensitive, feeling intuitive, and actually can just really feel what is happening with another person and be very nurturing as a parent and so forth.
Right.
The things that we tend to think of one gender or another, really they both have. But in the structure of a society, it balances out that you have women basically focusing in one area and men focusing in one area, even though all possess both. But now you mentioned a man who has a bit of feminine aspects and a little bit of yin and a little bit of intuition. Well, you know, that doesn't make a man less masculine. What it does, it makes him a better lover, if you forgive me for
approaching that.
Because, you know, being intuitive and sensitive person, you really know where someone else is coming from. And when you are aware of where you're coming from, your own feelings and what's inside of you, the more aware you are of what's in someone else and can, you know, relate to them and meet their needs. And women have proven themselves, well, as American society is moving out of the old paradigms, we're finding more women in leadership roles as governors and House of Representatives and legislatures and senators and so forth, Secretary of State, what have you, and have proven that this has introduced an improved element in political arenas and so forth, not that this is a political program. But do you find that people really want to awaken these things? And why is it that they are seeking things greater and outside of themselves? Isn't just living an empty existence and making sure your car is well-tuned as you go drive down to the factory to tighten the third bolt on the fourth bar of the assembly line enough for people anymore, Peter?
We're evolving. And this
this
is an evolving consciousness that's moving us into greater awareness. And the roles are changing, and it's beautiful to see. Certainly life nowadays doesn't reflect life 100 years ago or even 30 years ago. We are in a different world. There's a lot of resistance to that. There are a lot of groups, societies, cultures that aren't advancing, are being held back by their fears and their fundamentalism, and that's the nature of life. It's not like the whole planet is moving forward together. There are certain segments of the culture, of different cultures, certain segments of society that are different cultures that are much more evolutionary than other segments of our cultures.
Yes, and that explains why there are power shifts around the world, to use an Alvin Toffler term, digressing. Toffler even more. I believe that some parts of the world tend to be what I call physically based, some are more emotionally based, and some are more intellectually based. And we're breaking up into a more emotional time for the next couple of centuries, a more intellectual time for the next couple of centuries. And as a result of that, we're seeing power shift. Look at how there's a 500-year-plus shift between East and West, and how the Orient is rising with the intellectual incline of our consciousness as we move into the information age. But let's not overlook that we are also going into what I consider to be a new age of romanticism, and that requires that people be more aware of their feelings and call upon their own spirituality and their intuition. Thank goodness that there are people who have long realized this and have centers like yours to help people develop that within, because the demand is increasing there, isn't it?
Well, it's self-realization that you're talking about. And there's so much of that going on now, and we want to keep fostering it and allowing people to feel confident and supported in being different, in changing the paradigms, in being pioneers of new consciousness. And it's not so simple, because it's there are so many segments of society that are resistant. And yet there's so many segments that want change. And we see that in the world in politics right now is probably the most obvious, is that there are just so many people who understand what needs to be changed and can't understand why other people don't understand it at all.
Well, for those who know, no explanation is necessary, and for those who don't, none is possible, quote from Ram Dass.
Well said.
I had the pleasure of seeing you demonstrate the human design system in one of my visits to New York, and you were applying it to a very dear friend I've known for many, many years, and I saw the look of surprise on his face. He's going, yeah, that's right, that's right. And you gave him a bit of a forecast of what he might see coming ahead. And he said, well, you're not the only one that told me that. And I think that that may be true. And yet it was not intrusive. It was not overly personal, but it was based on the energies and so forth. Peter, how do you teach someone to be able to develop these tools?
Based on birth data. The human design system is not based on intuition.
Okay.
It uses birth data. It uses the planets at the moment of our birth, and it works with the Chinese I Ching and with the chakra system. It's my wife, who's an astrologer, calls it astrology on steroids. And it's amazing how much it knows about us. And I do these chart readings for people also, along with I have two different practices, basically. One is my intuitive practice, where people come and I work with them with intuitive information. And then I have a lot of people who come just for a human design chart reading. And it's amazing what this particular system knows in detail about people and their characteristics, the mechanics of their personalities, in ways that are so uncanny and complete. There's a lot of succinct information. It's not one of the reasons it's not like astrology is that astrology is more philosophical. There's more to talk about in terms of different ideas. And this is much more concrete and gets to the point and gives people a very clear understanding of themselves with not much to guess about. And then people say, well, then, you know, if this is so correct, what can we change? How do we change? And the idea is that this is an opportunity to learn about ourselves in a way that won't change. But because it won't change, it tells us how we can do a better job at being ourselves. Otherwise, many of us want to do a better job at becoming somebody else, because we don't really like the way we are fully. You know, might like some of us, but we don't like other parts of ourselves. And so we say, oh, good, I'm going to become like so-and-so. Well, we can't become like so-and-so. We can try to emulate them and maybe have some better ideas just because we see someone exhibiting better ideas. But we can't become who they are in life, because it's not possible to do that without actually creating suffering in ourselves. So it's good to know the story of what we're here for and how we're here to be, so that we don't waste time trying to be somebody else.
So if we learn we have a propensity, an innate ability towards music, then maybe we should work on composing a sonata, not composing the next great American novel, to realize what our true nature is.
Yeah, it doesn't differentiate in terms of whether you're a novelist or a musician. It does show creative talent, whether you have creative talent or not. And yet there's so many other things about us that are important to know, so that we can then make better choices in our lives.
Now, is this based on a lot of different systems that have been used over the ages and put together into human design?
That's why I said that it's in large part based on the Chinese I Ching, and that's based on the Chinese Book of Wisdom, the I Ching, which is a set of 64 different parts to it. It's broken up into 64 segments. Each segment is called a hexagram. It means six line, horizontal lines, one on top of another, and each one is either a yin or a yang line, which means either a broken line or a solid line. So if you have six lines that are, each line can be either yin or yang, then you can only have 64, mathematically, you can only have 64 variations of that. And so the Chinese have figured out, of those 64, what do they each mean in concepts of life? You know, they are the spectrum of life. And so each one represents a different part of the spectrum of life. And then this system knows which one or several, certainly a number of them that we're each born into, based on the position of the planets at our birth. And it's very exacting. It not only knows which hexagrams we're born into, but it knows which lines of each hexagram we're born into, which are subsets of life traits. And so it knows us down to very minutiae of information. It really differentiates us from anyone else on the planet, because our set of I Ching lines will be very different from anyone else's set. And so it's very clear, and it's very strongly, succinctly worded so that your unique traits are defined to a T. And this is always 100% accurate. I've done over 2,000 human design charts over the years. And at the end of each reading, I ask people, so how accurate has this been? And they always say it's uncannily 100% accurate.
That is remarkable that such principles could be found, understood, described, and discovered to be manifest in our lives. Are there any cyclical elements involved in this, how these things come about, since it's related to a person's birth date and other things
right. Well?
Right, well,
it's the movement of the planets. And so it knows, according to your birth data, which planets are where at the time of your birth, and then it knows how to identify your particular traits versus anybody else's.
It must have taken ancients a long time to discover this, analyze this across centuries. And this is something that stood the test of time across thousands of years, hasn't it, Peter?
Right, but this one system of these truths was actually channeled into somebody 26 years ago. And then he brought it out into the public awareness, and it's been now it's worldwide, and it's probably well over 1,000 certified analysts of it, and I'm one of them, and so it's becoming very popular.
And to who was this channeled, Peter?
An expatriate Canadian living in Ibiza, Spain.
Yeah.
So he had no idea it was going to happen. One day a voice spoke to him, kind of shocked him, and said, pay attention, I'm going to speak to you for the next 8 days and deliver right. this whole system.
And he received it intuitively.
It was channeled into him. And he had no idea. He just took notes. And eventually he was able to present it to the public because they chose the right guy for this. He was very good at it. He fought with it, and it wasn't easy for him to do this because he didn't volunteer consciously to do it. He was just given it one day or over a period of days and was told that was his plight in life.
Is it possible that we're all given assignments, some great, some minor, some life-changing across the world arena and the schools of teaching, where the one teaches a few and a few teach a many, and others being just what should be done because of the few people around them or something? Are we getting messages all the time if we just listen?
It's interesting. Yeah, I actually taught a class a couple of weeks ago on that. It was a class of what is your power in this life in terms of who you're supposed to be? And it was an interesting class because when I do a lot of these classes now, my Monday night classes, they're really about passing on intuitive information to the students. So they come and they sit there, and I look at a student one at a time and get these intuitive hits. And for instance, there was this one woman who came in. I had never seen her before. It was the first time she had come to class, and she was just sitting there, and all of a sudden it was her turn for me to give her information, and I'm looking at her, and all of a sudden I start talking about patterns. Like, I'm seeing that she's this expert on patterns, and I'm talking to her saying, oh my gosh, you really understand patterns. It's amazing that you know how geometries, and you know construction, and you're working involved with all these patterns. It's beautiful to see. And that's what your power is in this life. And then she said, well, do you know what I do for a living? And I said, no, I never met you before. I have no idea. She said, I'm a pattern maker.
Well, she realized herself, and it's good for us to have a bit of intuition as to what our propensities are so that we choose the right paths in life instead of winding up doing what we think someone else thinks we should doing and then becoming neurotic because we don't understand why we're not happy at this when we should be. We've got it all.
Right. And so I'm glad to have the opportunity to, in many cases, I just confirm what people are already doing. In other cases, I'll tell people things that they say, oh, I've always dreamt of doing that. And I'll
Indeed.
See that that's something that they really need to get active with.
Now, people come to you for classes in intuitive development or intuition in anything, whether it has to do with medicine or whether it has to do with energy patterns and Better Your Life seminars and so forth. What are some of the ways that you help people realize that we all have these abilities if we but use them?
Well, I've had so many people who come to me for all kinds of reasons. I draw from universal knowledge, so it almost doesn't matter what they come for. I'm pulling information out of the universe for them.
Indeed.
And it's very fascinating to see what shows up. And a lot of people I work with are doing very important things in life. You might think that I might, with the way I work and what I do, that I might be mainly attracting offbeat people who are open to offbeat things, and yet I attract a lot of business people, a lot of very grounded people who are open to higher information, and then they come to see me and they realize that this is something they want to do too. They would love to do what I do. And very often they ask, oh, teach me, I want to know, I want to do what you do. See, they don't just give me the power to do it for them. They want to take on that opportunity for themselves.
To realize themselves. That's why I was so looking forward to having you come on and tell our listeners a little bit about what you're doing. Because as I'm looking at the cycles of change, as if I'm watching a parade that I'm in at the same time, I've been noticing that wherever I go, I'm not part of the Heart River Center, but I am just walking in life, and I'm seeing this in everyone that I meet. And so it's not just people who are coming to the school and people who are listening to your radio program, Energy Stew, on Progressive Radio Network, but it's everywhere. If I'm on a construction site, if I'm on a rare occasion catching a cold beer at a bar, or just talking to someone across a counter as I get a sandwich, I am finding that there is all boats are rising with this tide, and I strongly feel, observe, and have mathematically plotted that this is the trend to which we are moving. It is a bellwether, a harbinger for things to come that will drive all this century, all of the next century, and into the century after that. We're not living the lives we did before. Folks, you're listening to the Cycles of Change radio program here on February 14, 2013, with our special guest, Peter Roth of the Heart River Center for Intuitive Healing at heartriver.org. Well, you're right, Peter. Women are very good listeners. They're faster to learn language, but I think men are listening more, too. Now that we're getting out of the clamor and the din of the machine age, I think that people are listening, and they're listening from their hearts. And sometimes it's the heart itself that receives information as things come to us, but then it goes up into the mind, gets translated as through the mind, interpreted, and then comes down to the mouth where we speak the concepts of these wonderful ideas we thought. But the mind attributes itself as the creator of these.
Well, it's actually a little more complicated. You know, we're trying to create some linear understanding about the heart versus the mind versus, you know, it's all a dynamic that works together. And our hearts, of course, are very included. And yet, let's not isolate it and think that, well, you know, maybe my heart isn't strong enough and I can't be good enough. We can actually do all this with just our intuition coming from a good heart, but not depending on the heart itself to be the only purveyor of this. I think great hearts are really important, and yet we can not try to separate the heart out from everything else, because we are so complex and fully integrated people, so that our heart is included when something is right or wrong. I say we read things by our hearts to know what's right and wrong, and feel our way. When people come to me and say, I don't know what to do in my life, I don't know where to go, I don't know how to direct myself, tell me, you're the intuitive, tell me what to do. and I say, no, that's not my job. My job is to help you read your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And let your heart tell you what to do. But you have to know how to read it, so let's talk about that. And so you're right about the heart being fundamental, but also let's understand that we are from such a complex derivation of reality. Our souls have traveled through time, and we know ourselves in ways that we can't even imagine on an unconscious level, on our soul level. It's fantastic. And so there's so much that's hidden. We live in a reality that we can't comprehend more than a fraction of it. And we're trying to, we're getting better at it. And yet that's our goal, is to keep on striving for greater awareness and greater utilization of our potential, which has to do with our DNA, which is evolving. We have very limited DNA. The human race is a very limited race. We have been here for a long time working with such a small part of our brains that we haven't functioned very well. And that's why our planet is in such bad shape, and our reality, it's still, there's so many primitive people amongst us who are creating fear, who don't understand anything more than, you know, how to protect themselves against made-up enemies.
Yes.
And we see a lot of that happening right now in the world, where people are being pushed into incredible fears. I have so many people who listen to the wrong gurus, information jockeys, and they're so frightened of the future because they've been told how we're in for the worst future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, how do you know we are? Well, because, you know, I watch Fox News all the time, and they know. Well, they might not know. They might be very interested in helping to provoke fear so that you think the world is going to come to an end very soon and they better get their guns.
We tend to go with our strengths, and when the times change and it calls for us to do something different because the times and the situations are different, and they have gone through a progression, a sequence of events, so that different action and different tools are now needed, we tend to keep going with our strengths that have We tend to look back at that and say, well, this has always worked, and it worked for my father and my father before him and everything like that. But unless we adapt by looking immediately at what's happening around us, we might try to fit a square peg in a round hole. And you talk about media being controlled. I recall a time, I'm old enough to remember, when people used to argue about religion and politics. When they argued about politics, they would say, I prefer this politician, and they would say, I prefer his opponent, and you don't know what you're talking about. So, but now I don't hear as much people arguing about politicians. I hear them arguing about which newscaster they listen to, talking about the politicians. And so I just find that all to be very humorous. I think it's so important for us to think for ourselves. You know, it's an irony. The something that has made us very strong, which is survival of the fittest, and even competition and so forth, has made us very strong. It has become the very thing that threatens our own existence, because our powers have become great enough that our weapons are absolutely massive. And now we have to think about, well, in the world of us and them, when we destroy them, we're going to realize we're destroying us. Well, we're all one. We're, and Deepak Chopra says he believes that we're reaching a critical mass where we're going to move from survival of the fittest to the survival of the wisest. And if that's going to happen, then indeed we're going to have to develop our intuitive healing abilities and develop more a little bit on self-realization. Isn't that true?
Yes, and what you're talking about is the difference between tribal and collective mentality. The old way was tribal. And tribal is warrior-like. Tribal needs a warrior chieftain. Collective is win-win. Tribal is all about win-lose. So people who speak tribally are always, and people who speak tribally are looking for tribal leaders who always will identify the enemy that has to be killed off.
Yes.
And there are still a lot of people in this world who are seeking tribal leaders and want to make sure that they know who we're supposed to kill. And you see that in some of the politics that are going on. You see that need to find a politician who speaks warrior-like. And people get very concerned when we're not talking about war. And yet the more modern approach, the evolutionary approach, is to think collectively, which is win-win, that we don't want to create enemies. We want to create peace among everyone, so let's find common ground. And that's really the age that we're moving into, this new Aquarian age, where it is about community and harmony and working together. So that's part of why we're evolving, is because we're being true to this new age that we've been moving into.
Another divine irony, as we each realize our own uniqueness through intuitive methods, we realize more and more that we're all one. So when we say, I am that, maybe we'll be a little reluctant to want to kill someone off for our own gain, for our own territorial expansiveness. So I believe we're becoming a little less territorial and a little bit more morally based and so forth. And intuition absolutely has to lead the way for this.
Right, and it has to come from within. This is something that can't be preached upon. There's something in people that is, in some people that is missing collectively. And so they are always seeking the leaders of fear because that makes them feel more secure. And at some point, something inside them needs to click, not outside them. It doesn't need some leader to say, no, you're thinking wrong, because they'll kill that leader. So we're evolving into a consciousness that's coming from within to without, rather than from without to within.
And our leaders are basically working like a consumer-oriented society, just as we select the products that are going to be sold and the demand is going to be met. Perhaps as we become a little bit more self-realizing, we're going to seek leaders that are not necessarily better for the nation state and the military-industrial complex, but better for the world community. So it really begins right where you are. Start right where you are. Realize yourself and select a leader that's based a little bit more on some different ideals, perhaps. You think that's happening, Peter?
Yes and no. I think that we have the potential for that. I think we have an administration now in this country that wants to be that way and yet is too meek about it, so that the corporations are still running wild and causing havoc, and their greed is overbearing, and there is no control mechanism at this point to put a halt on that. They've created propaganda that makes most people believe that their lies are true, and so it's hard to override them. There's not actually a truth court out there about propaganda, and so we're still vulnerable to being hooked into false advertising, into false science, into research that's tainted for commercial reasons, and the public in general still buys into that.
So as we become more intuitive through healing and everything else, and we realize the truths within ourselves, perhaps we'll be better listeners who understand and recognize when we're being told the truth by others and when we're being lied to. Peter, I want to ask you a little bit about your Energy Stew radio program. For how long have you been doing Energy Stew?
I've been doing it for 6.5 years.
Yes.
And hello. Somebody just walked in. Sorry.
Okay.
I wasn't prepared. I've been doing it for 6.5 years on Progressive Radio Network. And it's been very evolutionary in its own way, because I've been on the radio since 1976. I was a regular on the Gary Null Show in the 70s.
Oh, indeed. Yes.
2-3 hours a week at that point. And so since then, I've been on the radio on and off over the years. And then all of a sudden, I was given this show. It's a station that Gary Null owns, Progressive Radio Network. He has a flagship show on the network. And so for 6.5 years I've been doing this, and I think I'm getting better and better every year. I'm more discerning about the guests I have and the topics, and better at interviewing people. So I'm very proud of the show, and I'm glad to see the progress and the feedback that I get. And so I've geared shows to really satisfy my audience as much as possible.
So you have some years of radio experience, do you not?
I'm in LinkedIn.
40-some.
I'm in the web program LinkedIn, and I get so many people who check off public speaking for me. They give me a nice positive mark, and I'm very grateful about that. So a lot of people recognize that I've been successful with my radio show over the years.
Well, it's a great radio program. I've been privileged to be a guest on your program some 4 times now, as a matter of fact. Thank you for inviting me to come on and talk about the cycles
Sure.
of time and change on that. I've certainly enjoyed that. And then people should look for you on the social networks as well, LinkedIn. Just look for your name, Peter Roth, and so forth. You can also find a biography about Peter at heartriver.org, where he talks a little bit about his past modestly at that. It's even richer than what he describes in some cases. And you also have level 2 and level 3 of your intuitive development program. You have an entire school schedule on heartriver.org. And so forth. So, is it mostly people in the New York area that are coming to your school, Peter?
Say that again, please.
Is it mostly people in the New York area who come to your school?
Yeah, I guess so. People, though, for my practice, my intuitive practice, people call me from all over the world, because I think about 80% of what I do intuitively is over the phone. So I do sessions that I record and email the recordings to people, and so a lot of that work is international, and yet so far I haven't had teleclasses, and I do plan to start that fairly soon so I can work with people in other parts of the world.
Yeah, and we're becoming more information based and so forth. And so this is why I'm really excited that people are coming to you. The success of the school is another indication that we're moving in this direction. And I believe that this is just the beginning of the tide. This is not a wave. This is a tide. And the tide is going to last in something that we can count in centuries. It is an ascension of our consciousness and our awareness. And we have come out of sort of a long, dark period where it was might makes right, and my gain is your loss, and zeros sum prospects, and so forth. So, and as we're becoming more populous in the world, we really do have to function that way. We can't just go on and having dominance of hierarchies based on killing, but more of cooperation and interaction. And that's really where we're going to find our ascension. It's survival of the wisest as opposed to survival of the fittest only. So do you see this as happening around the world as well as the United States, or is this just a local national trend that we see with the success of your school, Peter?
Well, as I said, there are different evolutions in culture on our planet at this point.
Yes.
Some cultures are not evolving as fast as others. So there are parts of the world that are very advanced that people don't even realize are so even beyond us. Our country here, you know, if you look at our a lot of our society in this country, we're actually falling behind many countries.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the leaders anymore like we used to be. And so there's so much going on in the world that we need to catch up to ourselves. And so we're doing that. And in some ways we are leaders, but I don't think that we should believe that other places have to catch up to us. I think we just need to recognize what places are doing well and support that, and then also be proud of the progress that we're making.
That's true, because just as every person is unique, every nation is unique, and we've got to also consider our perspective as we look in the world arena versus from our point of view, based as a citizen of our own country, from wherever we live, because we tend to measure the world with our own yardstick, and that yardstick changes with time, culture, and region. And people tend to think that whatever we're good at, well, that's what's right. And then we just say, well, are you really good at this? You know, and somebody who plays basketball very well will walk up to a football player and say, okay, let's see you dribble. Let's see you pass. How good are you on the court? You're not a very good sports fellow. And the guy who plays football says, come out on the football field and watch me play. So we really should realize, you know, it's an old term, that strength comes in diversity. But that term became old because it's true. It's been repeated for so long. So let us recognize the differences in each other and respect them and embrace them. Because if we were all the same, we'd be pretty lopsided. We'd be all on the same side of the boat, and the boat might capsize.
So, that's great. Yeah. So that's what we love about each other, is that we are so different, and the human design system reveals that. And that's one of the things I love about it. It reveals our uniqueness in ways that we can be proud of and use and learn from and make our lives so much happier because it reveals us to ourselves.
Well, thank goodness for you, Peter Roth, and the Heart River Center for Intuitive Healing, and for you teaching so many people how to develop these skills. These are all things that are born with all of us if we just use them. They're a gift that we have, and the best things in life are free. Self-realization will help us to realize that. Peter, thank you for being on the show tonight and sharing some of your experience with our listeners.
And David, thank you so much. It's a joy talking with you. I'm so glad that you can host this show. You're doing a great job, and I really appreciated talking with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Cycles of Change radio program ending with Peter Roth at hearthriver.org, and tune in next Thursday when we have another guest as we discuss the changing world around us in the Cycles of Change. Thank you for listening, and good night.